Welcome to the Sportscast, December 10th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, X, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcast or Spotify, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And we're also on online radio. You can listen to us there. Also go to thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or download our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. Today is a special Sunday, but our special guest typically is available on these type of days, and he's have an upcoming podcast. He's across the pond. We love to have him on The Sportscast every time, but he can't. Sean Postal, welcome back to The Sportscast.
Thank you, Santiago. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and supporting Santiago on the Sportscast, first and foremost. It's always a pleasure to be back on your show, and I'm really looking forward to just talking to you about the current season that's coming up of our Legendary Night show. And then, of course, I'm sure we'll be delving into some of the most recent events that have gone on in the boxing world.
Absolutely. It's been a bit. We try to book you on, but with like time zones and schedules, you're a busy guy. You're working out and everything. Sean, you have been posting stuff on your social media about working out. You're almost like a professional boxer. Tell us that experience.
A little bit earlier on this year, there was a few difficulties in my personal life, and sometimes I think when you get to a point, you can't seem to find a way out of the situation you're in. And one thing that I felt like was missing from my life was the absence of being at a gym and going to a gym. So I decided to go to the local gym, which I'd been sending my children there to, and I started enjoying it again. I started getting the bug for it again. I started going 3, 4, 5 times a week. I started being involved with some of the professional boxers and training alongside them in the gym. And it's been really, really enjoyable throughout the course of this year. And it's really helped me from a mental health standpoint, and it's helped with my fitness levels again. And you know, I'm 37 years of age now, and I'm not getting any younger. I'm not essentially in my 20s and in that prime year anymore. Whereas I feel through going back that actually I feel as good as I did 10 years ago, which is a fantastic feeling. And I'm sure people of our age bracket probably get the same feelings when you start to be able to get to that point again.
Yeah, sometimes you hit a mark in your late 30s, early 40s. Hey, I need to get back in shape, back in my 20s. How many pounds did you lose? Obviously, we use pounds here in America. You use kilos, I believe. But how much weight did you lose?
So far, I've lost about 28 pounds, which is 2 stone. In weight, which has been fantastic, and I've felt the difference, like I said, you know, and I feel the fitness levels rising and being able to get into the ring and spar with people and train alongside professional fighters that are doing this day in, day out, and to be able to sort of hold my own is I think is an incredible achievement, and I enjoy it. I continue to do it. Although the last few weeks has been a bit of a write-off, unfortunately, because I have suffered with a couple of minor niggling injuries, which I'm working on getting sorted now before I can get myself back in. But I think the main thing for me, and I'll say this to everybody listening, if you ever feel like you can never get yourself to that point again, if you ever feel that sort of downtrodden and downbeaten, please just walk through that door one more time, because it is the best thing I did this year was walking back through the door of a boxing gym and really enjoying myself again.
Yeah, Sean, definitely check out his social media. Definitely see results night and day. Well, Sean has a new podcast. You know, in the UK, they have these great radio specials. I'm a radio freak. BBC creates one of the best radio episodes. Like, everyone in the UK creates great radio episodes, and Sean is one of them. And he has a special podcast coming out this month, actually tomorrow. Let's watch the trailer and we'll talk about it after the commercial.
My style is impetuous, my defense is impregnable, and I'm just ferocious. I want your heart, I want to eat his children.
You a pussy. And I'm the top draw. You remember that?
Can't be two good guys. I chose to be the bad guy. Fuck
you. I'm gonna beat you till you respect me. I'm gonna beat you, I'm gonna make you call me pretty. I'm gonna beat you like that.
still going to beat his ass.
And Don Trella scores it. 114-114. This is officially a draw.
You're going to have to keep the rules in this business.
And now there's a fight in the ring that's been started by some of Bo's handlers who went after Lou Duvall. Somebody's going to get hurt in there.
Legendary Nights by BTR Boxing starts December 11th. Sean, tell us a little bit about this season.
This was another sit-down process. Myself and Johnston went back to the drawing board and tried to think of specific moments in boxing history, specific fights in boxing history that we hadn't already covered. Bearing in mind, we've covered probably the most favorite fights of many boxing fans' careers. Like they look at it and go, "Oh, this is the fight I want to go to." Like the Gatti Ward or the Corrales Castillo fights. You know, some of the greatest fights of all time have been covered by us in the previous three seasons. So, sitting down to do a fourth season at first seemed quite a difficult task because it's like, what else can we do out there? What is out there that would really resonate with boxing fans, and what stories do they really want to hear? And with our niche being storytelling and with our niche being history, we decided to look through a list of the fights that we'd put together previously and start to really delve into them and look at what the factors were that led into these fights. What was surrounding the moment in time? Was there something nostalgic going on that we wanted to speak about? Were there fights that are in more modern times that maybe more modern boxing fans wanted to see? And we did. We come up with a list of 10 episodes, 10 fights. Some of the fights may not be as spectacular as others that we've covered. But again, it's all for us. It's all about the storytelling. It's all about telling the stories of maybe moments in time that you didn't realize actually happened. Stories surrounding big fights and moments that you may know, you may not know. And the beauty of us putting these shows together is really to not just educate ourselves, but it's to educate the boxing fans out there as well. Like, one of the biggest thrills we get from doing these shows is when somebody who considers themselves to be an avid boxing fan, a bit of a hardcore boxing fan, will say to us, "Do you know what? I actually learned something new from that episode that you did." For us, that's the greatest compliment that we can get, because boxing history is so accessible through the means of the internet and social media. And even if you want to be old school and you want to go to a library and look up the stuff that's in there books wise, it's so accessible now than what it was. So people could really go out and do their own research and put their own things together. And a lot of people, they do. That's how they create their own channels and YouTube outlets. But for us, we've always had this niche. We've always had this specific way of putting our stories together. And I really hope that when people listen to it, they can really appreciate that. And you really understand like the depths of analysis that we've gone to bring them a really great story surrounding these fights.
Yeah. If you watch the trailer and if you're listening on the podcast, a couple of the clips that really stood out to me was Floyd, Money, Mayweather, and also Mike Tyson. Can you name a few of the fights you'll cover? Obviously, I know you're going to release ever so often, but you know, give us a few highlights of what you guys will be covering for this season and for this series.
So there's a trailer that I know you're going to be playing shortly, so I'm not going to spoil it for people. but the first episode, of course, will be being released tomorrow, and I'll let Santiago play that trailer shortly. But what we've done for this season, we've included, if you've already guessed it, we've included a certain fight between Floyd Money Mayweather and Oscar De La Hoya. It was, at its time, the richest fight in boxing history, which has since been surpassed by two other Floyd Mayweather fights, ironically. But this specific fight was a moment in time, again, where boxing was kind of dead in the water a little bit in terms of where it was. All the big crossover pay-per-view stars had started to decline. They were being beaten. there wasn't any major stars and players in the sport anymore. And it was this fight that also really made Floyd Mayweather as a fighter and as a pay-per-view star. And people will argue that this was the moment where he as a fighter changed his style as well. I think this was one of the last fights where I can honestly remember his pretty boy era. He used to be pretty boy Floyd Mayweather, then he went to money Mayweather, but the pretty boy Floyd was a more aggressive attacking fighter. And I think this is probably the last fight that he does that in. And what we wanted to highlight is how significant it was for boxing and boxing history, and how it was a bit of a crossover and a changeover of the guard between the pay-per-view star in Oscar De La Hoya and Floyd Mayweather.
Now, will you guys be releasing, like, every episode will be a surprise, or are you going to say, hey, this is this will be our this will be like, you know, week three will be this episode and this one out, but you have a schedule, or are you going to keep it all surprising?
Well, what we tend to do is we would like to, closer to the date the episode's being released, we'd like to try and drop a trailer for people. So when you drop that trailer for episode one shortly, it is already out on social media. So if you are following us, you'll know what the episode is and have seen it. And every week we try to do the same thing. We don't want to keep it a complete surprise to people, hence why we do a trailer. And you know, if you look at the fights and the moments that are in the trailer, it's pretty straightforward to guess who's going to be involved in them, what fighters, and potentially what fights we're going to cover. But each week we will do a different promotional episode to put out there to show people the actual story that we're covering. The first two episodes will be coming out over the next 2 weeks. There is, of course, the holiday season, Christmas and New Year. So we've got the 11th episode one, the 18th episode two, and then 8th of January is when it returns for episodes 3 all the way up to 10 on a weekly basis.
As Sean said, episode 1 drops December 11th, which is tomorrow. And it's on a special, probably one of the best American boxers of all time, obviously, arguably, Mike the Ice Tyson. And here is the preview for episode 1.
Is impetuous, my defense is impregnable, and I'm just ferocious. I want your heart, I want to eat his children.
Yeah, I think he's a dirty fighter. I've seen him do a lot of dirty things, throwing elbows, you know, headbutting people, trying to break people's arms.
There's nothing superior than him about me. He has nothing superior than me. There's nothing about him. If anything, he's the homo sapien, I'm the homo superior.
Legendary Heights, Lennox Lewis versus Mike Tyson drops tomorrow. That fight was after the Evander Holyfield and Mike Tyson fight. Tell us a little bit about this episode. Obviously, it was USA versus UK. Lennox Lewis was from the UK and Mike was from the US. But tell us a little bit about this first episode.
So this was a fight that had been anticipated for many, many years. And ideally, we should have seen this in around 96, 97. Mike opted to fight Evander Holyfield in their two bouts. Lennox Lewis then went on to face Holyfield and had that controversial draw in their first fight. In the second fight, he ultimately got the victory and became the undisputed heavyweight champion. In fact, the last undisputed heavyweight champion that we've had was in 1999, and we haven't had one since, which is what we're hoping to get on February the 17th, 2024, as Fury and Usyk finally collide for all the belts. Let's hope that actually happens. But back to this particular episode, and it's quite a nostalgic one for people of a similar age to myself and you, Santiago. It's really good because for me, it was like I was in my teens, I was finishing school, and I was really excited about the prospect of two great warriors going at it, finally getting it on. It was the biggest fight in the heavyweight division that we'd seen for a long, 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 long time. And it was two of the fighters that were coming to the end of their careers. It was two of the fighters that was coming towards the end of that particular era. So when you think of Lennox Lewis and Mike Tyson's era, you're thinking about Riddick Bowe, you're thinking about Evander Holyfield, you're even thinking about the second coming of George Foreman and Tommy Morrison, all these great fighters from the 90s, Ray Mercer. You know, there's many, many great fighters in the heavyweight scene from the 1990s. And also, it was one of them moments as well where I think the American heavyweight boxing scene finally had to concede that it wasn't the superior boxing country in the world, because throughout the course of the 1990s, it was dominated by American heavyweights being champion until, like you say, Lennox Lewis comes along. And you had one moment, of course, with Frank Bruno when he wins in 1995 and becomes a WBC champion. But really, it was dominated by you guys. The Americans had the heavyweight title. It was being passed around from pillar to post. But this fight, Lewis Tyson, really was sort of the last great heavyweight matchup of the generation, despite the fact that Mike Tyson really wasn't the Mike Tyson that we all knew and loved. And it kind of felt like a sad end, but there was still that glimmer of hope within a lot of people when this fight came around that Mike would show us something that he had shown us before and once again become heavyweight champion.
Yeah, when Mike fought Lennox Lewis at that time, he was towards the end of his prime, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. He's for me, Mike Tyson, and a lot of people will have this debate, Mike Tyson's prime was when he was undisputed champion in the late 80s. Once his life started to spiral out of control outside of the ring, he was never the same. He was never the same animal again. Yes, he came back after he came out of prison for a rape conviction, and it felt like he was that animal again. In fact, some people felt he was better in 95, 96 than what he was in the late 80s. But the people that he were fighting, with all due respect to them, they weren't the same fighters that he were fighting in the late 80s and into the early 90s. So when he matched up against the likes of Evander Holyfield, who people thought were going to be easily beaten by Tyson, Tyson didn't deal with that very well. And from 97 onwards, he was just on a complete spiral out of control in his life. And I think that's one thing that if you didn't know about his life, if you haven't read his book or watched his documentary, you'll learn from this episode, because that was something I didn't truly realize at the time of the fight in 2002 with Lewis and Tyson, was how bad Mike was outside of the ring, how the drugs, how the women, how everything else had taken control of him, so much so that he really was a shell of his former self going into the fight.
Yeah, that was a very significant time. And interesting topic you brought up, that that Mike was in his prime in the late 80s. He got knocked out in Japan by that one boxer. What was his name again?
Buster Douglas.
Buster Douglas. Yeah, I was kind of surprised. I think he made that quote where life is going good until you get sucker punch, right, or something?
Yes. Everyone thinks they've got a plan until they get punched in the face, I think is the quote that you're referring to there. But yeah, Mike, obviously, is one of them enigmas of the sport that you always were rooting for him, no matter what he did outside of the ring, no matter how crazy he seemed at times. You always wanted him to win. A part of you wanted him to go and do the job. And I bet there was probably some British fans out there at the time that wanted Mike to win, that wanted to see him get on top of the division once more time, because there's always been that debate about Lennox Lewis and his dual heritage and his dual nationalities. Of course, you know, born in Britain, goes to Jamaica, resides in Canada, competes and wins a medal at the Olympics for Canada, and then he's classed as British when he wins heavyweight title. So people don't really look at Lewis, not everybody that is, but a lot of people don't look at Lewis as a legit British champion, although he was born in Britain. It's just that he moved around, and because he goes and wins that medal for Canada, people automatically go, well, he's no longer a British fighter, which is strange. I can understand why people feel that way. And of course, because he's got a Canadian accent, I don't think that helps either.
Yeah. And like you said earlier, you know, after that Lennox Lewis, Mike Tyson fight or feud, the heavyweight level was quiet. And maybe till, I mean, I'm not a boxing fan, but till like Tyson Fury, it feels like, you know?
Well, I think when Lewis retired, Vitaly and Vladimir Klitschko came along. In Lewis's last fight, he had a really life and death fight with Vitaly Klitschko and managed to beat Vitaly Klitschko because he suffered a horrific cut, Vitaly, and the fight eventually got stopped and Lewis won the fight. But from there on out, it was the Klitschko brothers who dominated for around about 10 to 12 years until the likes of Tyson Fury came along, the likes of Anthony Joshua came along from Britain and started, you know, bringing ourselves to the forefront as a country and as a heavyweight boxing country. But then there was also other fighters outside on the fringe as well. When Deontay Wilder came along, there'd not been an American fighter that had excited the audiences and had that one-punch knockout power probably since someone like Mike Tyson. So, yeah, it did go a bit dry. I think the Klitschko's kind of ruled the division for a long time. For better or worse, it made boxing a heavyweight scene stale.
Yeah, quite a period of time for boxing. Maybe things might pivot soon. Before we get into the current events of boxing, what is the best way to read for people to listen to this podcast series, Legendary Nights?
Well, they can find us on any available podcasting app. So the most popular ones are Apple and Spotify. If you are on Spotify and you're listening, please, there is a comments box now. They've really introduced a great feature in which you can ask a question about the episode and you guys can comment on it. So if you have a comment on the episode or any thoughts and feelings, you can literally drop it in the comments box below on the Spotify application. If you want to listen to it via YouTube, we do put the audio up on YouTube as well. But any available podcasting app out there, if you just type in Legendary Nights Podcast, you'll find all the episodes for this season and the previous three.
Definitely listen to Sean's episode. These podcast series are fantastic. I listened to the Darker Nights one earlier this year. It was fantastic. And things that I did not know about. Sean and his partner Johnson, they researched these things. That stuff you don't hear in other networks or other platforms, but they do the research and stuff they didn't know about, but they leave it up to you to decide. Hey, this is what we thought. What do you think about it? You know, they don't take a side. You know, hey, they just report the facts or the evidence they would get. So definitely take a listen to it. It comes out tomorrow. And Mike Tyson versus Lennox Lewis, Legendary Nights, that's definitely worth a listen for episode one. And looking forward to the Mayweather one. Let's go into current events. Obviously, a lot of boxing fights this past year, Sean. The big one that I think you probably were more curious about was Fury versus Francis Ngannou. He's a former UFC fighter. Fury was knocked out a bit, but he still won the fight, and it was in Saudi Arabia. Your thoughts over that match?
I didn't know what to expect going into it. I thought it might be quite one-sided. Maybe I was naive to think it was one-sided. And I genuinely thought, with it being an exhibition bout, that there might be some sort of pre-arrangement between the pair. And in exhibitions, usually there is a level of arrangement between the two competitors where they'll say, right, well, you know, we're not going in there to actually try and knock each other out, but we are gonna throw them shots in and maybe they'll try and pull them punches a little bit, and it has been known to happen in that way. At the end of the day, these two guys were paid a hell of a lot of money to go on and put an exhibition on. But Francis Ngannou came there and he ripped the script up a little bit because he puts Fury down, much to the surprise of Fury, of course, and everybody else watching. Nobody really anticipated that Fury would go down in an exhibition bout against a guy who was making his professional boxing debut. So it was a wake-up call, I think, for Tyson Fury and for Tyson Fury's team and the people around him to really start to make sure that he has got his head in this sport 100%. Because if he hasn't got his head in this sport 100%, how is he expected to beat Alexander Usyk on February the 17th? Johnston, my counterpart for this show, truly, truly believes that Usyk's going to beat Fury. And he's held that opinion probably for the past 2 to 3 years that we've been doing our shows together. He's absolutely adamant that if Fury was to come to the heavyweight division, he'll clean up. So far, he's going on course to do that. If he beats Tyson Fury, Usyk goes down as one of the greatest fighters, not just a heavyweight, but one of the greatest fighters of all time, having been an undisputed cruiserweight champion, to then come up to heavyweight and clear up the division there would be one hell of a feat indeed.
Yeah, Fury versus Usyk, you mentioned that fight could be canceled, or you're hesitant to say that it will still go on? Or
I think a lot of people feel, and not just me, I know there's a lot of people on social media that use X and Instagram that still are of the opinion that this fight won't actually take place on February the 17th. There's a lot of rumour and innuendo about Fury's lifestyle again outside of the ring and as to whether this will happen again. My understanding is that a contract has been signed, as is everybody else's understanding. My understanding is also that both of these competitors are contractually obliged to make sure that this fight happens before a certain date, and that if it doesn't, then potentially they'd be in breach of contract. So who knows? It's anyone's guess at the moment. It really depends on who is closest to Team Fury and Team Usyk as to know the real insights of negotiations and contracts. But this is just what's reported and widely reported by respective journalists on social media and for different outlets. I will believe this fight happens the day that I see this fight happen. I want it to happen so badly. I want to see an undisputed heavyweight champion. But I've got to be skeptical about it and think it's been talked about for a couple of years. It still hasn't happened. Fury keeps saying he wants it, then he doesn't want it, then he's pulling out. Yeah, it's. I'm a bit skeptical at the moment that it will actually happen until they see him in the ring.
Yeah, this kind of reminds me of the Pacquiao and Mayweather fight that never happened until towards the end. So this is very, very paralleled. Usyk is Ukrainian, not Russian, right? Is that correct?
He is Ukrainian. I think the confusion lies with that is because Ukraine used to be a part of the Soviet Union way back when. And because of that, people, I think, automatically assume geographically that, you know, he is a Russian, but he's not. And unfortunately, as we know, that battle between Russia and Ukraine has been going on for quite some time and is still going on behind the moment. So Usyk proudly is a Ukrainian fighter.
Yep. February 17th, that's the anticipated date, probably on DAZN, I imagine. Let's go to some more of the entertainment side. I know Sean's not a fan of it, but I know Sean has an opinion over it. Tommy Fury versus KSI. Fury won. Also, Tommy had a good fight, actually. He had a better fight with Jake Paul. But your thoughts over that fight back in October?
It wasn't the greatest of fights, I think. Being totally honest, like I did tune into it. I kind of felt like, given the success of the Jake Paul and Tommy Fury fight in general and the hype that it built and the sort of fan base it brought in, I was quite intrigued to see, you know, what KSI could do against Tommy Fury and whether Tommy Fury would be better. And ultimately, I don't think he was that much better, Tommy Fury, in the fight with Jake Paul against KSI. Some felt KSI should have won that fight. I mean, I watched it, and a few people in my household watched the fight, and don't get me wrong, they're sort of casual watchers of the sport and don't actively tune into it the way I do, but they watched that fight and felt like KSI should have won it, and understandably, I can sort of relate to why they felt he should have won that fight. But Tommy Fury says he doesn't want any more crossover YouTube fights, but the rumor is that he's looking at fighting Roy Jones Jr. in an exhibition.
Wow, I did not hear that rumor. I know Sean is very involved with the behind the scenes of boxing news and things like that. Now, Jake Paul, he wants to get serious, and he will have an appointment this month. And, you know, he has won a few fights, couple of ones that you're kind of like, why did he fight this person? He had only one L versus Fury, Tommy Fury. This time he'd be fighting against Andre August. Your thoughts over this move from Jake?
I think he's just continuing to try and build a resume up, to be honest with you. I think he's he's lost his fight to Tommy Fury. I think he's trying to continue to build this record up to a point where he can become more marketable for a big fight again. Like Jake Paul's always said, hasn't he? And you always talk to me about this, is he's always said, oh, I want to fight Canelo one day. And it's like the reality of that happening is at the moment slim to none, unless Jake Paul brings something to the table where the Canelo team go, well, actually, if he's bringing in 30, 40, 50 million dollars to the table and his massive exponential fan base, Canelo, as he comes towards the end of his career, might actually buy into the fact that, yeah, it's an easy payday for him. You know, one of the greatest fighters of this generation could quite easily get in there with someone who's less experienced and have a relative ease night. So I don't know what his intentions are at the moment. Just when I think he's might be even going somewhere near legitimate, then he kind of does something that pulls me back again and makes me think, ah, he is what he is. He's a fighter that's come from YouTube and he's of that sort of category. If he gets a significant win over a significant fighter, then again, as I've always said to you off the air, I would start to stand up and take notice. But his opponent, who he's fighting in the not too distant future, I believe hasn't fought for quite some time. He might have a pretty good record on paper, but his activity levels haven't been fantastic. So for me, it feels like a good way for Jake to step back into the ring again, maybe look good in doing so, and then maybe put his marketability right up again, where he could call for a big fight in 2024. He could maybe fight a legitimate fighter that has more experience than Tommy Fury had. And I think if Jake's going to make an impact in the boxing world, he has to go out there and he has to be a legitimate fighter. And Tommy Fury was and is a legitimate fighter, but he's a novice. He needs to fight somebody who's like 15, 20 fights into their career, who has fought legitimate either world champions or former world champions. If he was to do that and beat them emphatically, then I could honestly say, right, I'm going to have to take this guy a little bit more seriously now.
Yeah, Jake Paul is fighting Andre Agassi. As Sean's mentioned, he hasn't fought in, I think, 4 years, but he is 10-1. The fight will be in Orlando December 15th. I've not been seeing much marketing from it, but you never know these algorithms on social media. Sometimes they pick and choose what they want to show me. So things like that. So the fighting world continues, and you definitely want to check out Sean's podcast, Legendary Nights. First episode, Lennox Lewis versus Mike Tyson. You don't want to miss that. I do remember that fight. I don't know if I bought the pay-per-view back then, but I do remember it. But Sean, one more time, what is the best way people to listen to this podcast series?
So if you're not following us on social media, on Twitter, or X as it's called, we are at Legend Night Pod on there. Or you can just follow us at the BTR Boxing Podcast Network on all other available social media platforms. And you will get access to that episode quite easily. If you do subscribe to us on any of the platforms, it will be on the BTR feed as well as the Legendary Nights feed. And again, you can also find the episodes on YouTube if that's your preferred way of listening to these episodes. If you do want to give myself a follow on social media, I am relatively active on X, which is at SeanBTRBoxing, and the same on Instagram now, at SeanBTRBoxing on there. You can see some of my little updates here and there, whether it be something in my personal life, whether I've been to an event, or whether it's just a training video and a little montage of what's been going on there. You can do that also as well. But again, I do appreciate all the support from you guys that have tuned into us, and it's been really appreciated.
Now, you've been following boxing all your life. Now, training to boxing, what's one thing you did not know that, wow, I mean, I didn't know these boxers get into this stuff in the practice and in training. What you did not know coming into this?
I think for me, it was, I think when you go away from something that's athletic for a period of time and then you try to come back into it, I think that's probably more difficult than actually being involved in said athletics. So I can imagine this is the same for many other sports. Like if you're a distance runner or you're a 100-meter runner, or maybe you're a shot putter, if you go away for something for a period of time, I think you lose your confidence, you lose your fitness. And then when you get back into it, I think the one thing I will say is that muscle memory is 100% a thing, because when you get back into something, when your fitness levels do start to rise once more time, everything just feels like it was before, like clockwork. You might not be as fast as you once was 10 years before. You might not hit as hard necessarily, but you might find that what you get out of it is that the rhythm, the timing, is everything is kind of all still there. It just might not be the same exactly as it once was. So you have to adapt. And I think it's adapting to it is what's important. So if you go back into a sport, whether it be boxing or whether it be anything else, you'll find that you will have to adapt and make changes, whether it be in your diet or whether it be in the way you train, and obviously post-training as well. I think the biggest thing I've taken away from this is looking after my body a bit better. Like, I never went and had massages. I never went and seen chiropractors, which is what I'm seeing now. It's like, I never did any of that. I'd literally just stretched before, stretched afterwards, did a few things at home to kind of keep my body, you know, in shape. But I've realized as I've got older, it's 100% a necessity. So if I was talking to myself 10 years ago, I'd have said, make sure you go and get a massage once every fortnight, or make sure you go and do this because it will help you in the long run.
Yeah, there have it. Always get back into training, muscle memory. That is true. I mean, I experienced that after not training for a bit, coming back. Oh, I know how to do this. There is a comment from our Twitch channel, from Much Mars, Crew Mars, said raid. I'm not sure if that's a boxing term. Have you heard of raid?
No. It's not. It's something new to me. I need a bit of an elaboration on that one.
Me too. I mean, just random comments. Anyways, you can reach us at the Sportscast1 on X, Instagram, and also our website, thesportscast.net. And we'll be having shows all throughout this week. Christmas is coming. Sports still continue. You guys have Premier League all through December. We have the NFL throughout the whole December. So looking forward to it. Sean, give us a Christmas tip for this year before we go.
A Christmas tip for this year. Don't overindulge.
What is your favorite Christmas dish?
We're quite traditional, so we have turkey. We have turkey and all the trimmings. It's the dessert. We have cheesecake. New York cheesecake is my favorite dessert. That's my thing for the year.
Do you guys have Christmas pudding?
Yeah, but it's not nice. I don't like it. I really don't enjoy it. That's not a personal one of mine. I know there's some guys out there and girls that love it, but not for me. I'm more of a cheesecake or trifle person, or cheese and crackers and chutney. They're the other things that I absolutely love over Christmas.
You know, I have been in England for Christmas. You guys do great Christmases, by the way. So I'll give you credit for that.
No, we love it. We love it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've seen some of the stuff that goes on in America and the way people decorate their houses. And I think you guys over there definitely go one step further than what some of us do.
I've been seeing some crazy stuff. I've seen ballooned Santa Claus. Now I've been seeing ballooned, like, bunch of, like, dinosaurs and elves and things like that. So it's quite crazy. Anyways, with too much Christmas talk, Sean Postal, follow him on Twitter, BTR Boxing, listen to his podcast, and guys, enjoy it. If you're down, you know, get some motivation from this podcast series. I like it. It motivates me a little bit. Gets into the, you know, it's a man's podcast, to be honest. I'm gonna call it out. I love it. So it gets you motivated. Anyway, Sean, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Thanks very much, Santiago, and everybody listening, and I'll see you soon.
And this was your update.